Hey, why am I wearing this black robe again? So this is like a reminder. Yeah, thanks. I have a couple stories to tell you this morning, so I'm going to do some stuff, and then we will have a sermon, and we'll tie the sermon in, and it'll all come together, so bear with me here, but I won't go long. I'll go as fast as I can, but for those of you that were not here last week, so last week was my coming out, and I like using that phrase because everybody else is coming out, so I'm coming out. And what I'm saying is I have literally joined the Black Robe Regiment. Those are pastors today who are emulating or following the example of the pastors in this country who were pastoring churches during the Revolutionary War. And they were so feared by the British that the British called them the Black Robe Regiment. And when the war started, they specifically went after these men, and many of them paid with their lives. But these were fearless preachers who preached from the pulpit to their people, get involved. You know, we think much of the Revolutionary War is all about taxes, but actually that's not the case, and we'll be talking about that over the next several months. But really, at the very top was the loss of religious liberties and the oppression by the British government of saying you can only have one church and you will go to our church and none of these other churches are allowed. And so these preachers were resisting that and telling their people, you got to get involved. You know, this is an injustice. And so they stirred up the people. And that was what gave birth to the Revolutionary War. And so I've joined the Black Robe Regiment, and I don't know if these other guys who joined around the country are wearing black robes, but I'm wearing a black robe. And why am I wearing this black robe? Well, for two reasons. So if people ask you what's up with Pastor Dave, this might help you, okay? Other than saying, I really don't know. He's over the edge sometimes, and that's all right. Good to be over the edge every now and then, strike a little fear in people. You don't know what to expect when you come to church on Sunday, right? Like, yeah, okay. Two reasons. One, to remind you and others that it's time for you to come out of the closet. Yeah, it's time for you to come out of the closet, man, and let people know you're a Christian. I'd hate to take a poll and find out how many of your coworkers don't know what you believe, don't even know you're a Christian. Come out of the closet. They come out of the closet at school. I'm not talking about being weird. I'm talking about being the light. Come out of the closet. Let people know what you believe. Get involved. Say something. Speak up. Give people the wisdom of God about situations we're facing. So I'm doing it for that reason. And then the second reason is a little bit more challenging for me, but I'm going after preachers. I'm going after pastors, and I'm trying to tell them. I'm going to be telling them, and I have been, but this kind of takes it up a notch when they see, whoa, what's with you, Pastor Dave, in that black robe? I'm telling him, because it's time for you to join the Black Robe Regiment and start talking from the pulpit about issues of the day. It's just terrible what happens in churches across America. They will not address issues. They're so fearful, and I think it's causing a part of our problem, all right? So I'm encouraging pastors to speak out about the issues of the day, and in particular, I'm talking about homosexuality, transgenders, abortion, things like that. And so anytime I bring that up, people say, oh, well, why don't you talk about the other issues of the day? Because they're not the issues of the day. Come on, folks. What's being rammed down your throat every single day now? Every day. Like, yeah, homosexuality is right. Bless them. Accept them. Give them prayer. You know, transgenders need to have rights. Like, that's the issue of the day. So let's address it from the pulpit. Let's talk about it and give people some ideas about what we'll do. What does God's word say about this? And I think unless we do that, we're just going to see this continual destruction. So does that mean every Sunday you're going to get political commentaries? No. Only on the Sundays when there's stuff happening during the week that deserves political commentary. Are we in a messed up culture right now? I'm telling you, this is messed up, man. But I don't see it as being political. I see it as your everyday life stuff you're dealing with, that you're talking to your children about, that you're talking to your coworkers about. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to speak intelligently, spiritually, with God's light and wisdom about these things? Maybe we can help a few people. So, all right, so how long am I going to wear the black robe? I have no idea, all right? Until the Holy Spirit releases me. That's all I can say, you know. Maybe a few more weeks and then I'm done with this. Maybe a few more months. Maybe a few more years. Maybe until real Holy Ghost revival breaks out in our country. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't you like to live to see a real move of God's Holy Spirit move through this country? It has happened before. It can happen again. I would like to be a part of it. But, you know, just a little history here. It's just going to give you, first of all, how many of you, anybody here other than my wife, Roxanne, any of you here been attending this church for 30 years or more? Just raise your hand. I think, yeah, there's Mark and Tom and, yeah, Henry and Yvonne, Phil, Mike Roche, the Roshans. Yeah, there's a few of you. So, okay, God bless you. You get special treasure in heaven for hanging with me. You get special treasure, all of you do. But you know, I've been at this 40 years, and for the last 40 years, I've had a couple major transitions. Thank you. Yeah, still going. But I've had some major transitions on my uniform that I wear on Sunday morning. I like to use the term uniform, you know, because, you know, the first 10 years, Roxanne and I moved out here from California, and so I was just a Jesus hippie, Jesus freak. I mean, that's all I knew. I got saved in the Jesus movement, and so we come out here, and my uniform on Sunday morning was long hair, long beard, you know, blue jeans, t-shirt, flip-flops, and I thought that was the way you do it, and that's what I wore, and that's what I wore on Sunday, and I did that for about 10 years. That was my uniform on Sunday morning. And then after about 10 years, I started feeling this stirring in my heart. Actually, I think it was the Holy Spirit saying it's time to grow up. The hippie movement is gone, you know. You know, you can't let go of things. I mean, that's, you know, change is not easy, right? Change is not easy, man. I don't care how old you are. I'm going, no, man, hippie movement, yeah, come on, man. We, you know, Jesus is cool. But I felt like the Holy Spirit said, look, straighten up. Would you just start wearing nicer clothes? And so one Sunday I come into church, I'm wearing like casual, nicer pants. I wasn't wearing ripped up jeans at the bottom. And I actually put a tie on. And I didn't get applauded that Sunday. No one cheered for me, you know. They sat there like this. Oh, yeah, Pastor Dave, you sold out to the establishment, you know, like. I did. I got pushback on that one. I said, why do we have to wear ties? No, man, no, I don't care what you wear. Don't bother me with that. Wear whatever you want. I'm just trying to be obedient to God. And God said, straighten up. And so I'm going to start wearing a shirt and tie. And that's what I did for 10 years. And some people like that. I think we might have even lost somebody from the church because of that. You know, I sold out. So that runs for another 10. So I got 10 years as a hippie. I got 10 years as a, I don't know, casual business, casual office. And then I feel like this change coming on me that the Holy Spirit's saying, I want you to start wearing suits to church on Sunday. Suits. Man, that's just not my upbringing, you know, suits. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not going to do that. But, you know, it took a while. And one Sunday I walk in here, as radical as this is, I had another uniform on. It was called a businessman suit, you know, coat, tie, dress, everything. And man, I might have got booed that Sunday. I'm not exactly sure. It wasn't a lot of smiling. And I just told him, look, man, it's time for me to change. I just feel like God's speaking to me. I just need to be obedient, and that's what I'm going to do. And so I started wearing that for about 10 years. And actually had one guy come up to me after service. He was not a happy camper. He goes, well, I wear a suit every day, Monday through Friday. There's no way I'm wearing a suit here in church on Sunday. I don't care. Just wear whatever you want. Don't bother me. You know, go, come. I don't care, you know. So anyway, I wear a suit for 10 years. And then 2005, and a couple years before that, we start running and associating with the Vineyard Association. So now, any of you know the three C's of the Vineyard Association? Probably don't know the deep mysteries of the Vineyard. The Vineyard has very three C's: Christ, casual, and coffee. That's Vineyard. You do not wear ties in Vineyard. You do not wear suits in Vineyard. That's just uncool. And so we're making this transition. I'm wearing suit and tie. By this time, I bought like four suits. You know, when I first started, I only owned one suit. Now I have four suits. I'm rotating them. I'm into the suit thing. I'm totally into wearing suits. And I feel like, oh, man, now we're joining the Vineyard. And I was unhappy that I couldn't wear suits anymore. That's how messed up you get. You just get into the rhythm, you know. And so I come in one Sunday, no suit. Well, by that time, about, I don't know, a certain percentage of the church had started wearing suits. You know how it is. You kind of follow the leader. And so there's people wearing suits. I'm not wearing a suit. What's up with you? You know, I just feel like it's time to change. Casual, that's where we're going. And so for the last 11 years, I've been doing casual, you know, no tie, you know, polo shirts, button downs. But now it's time for change again. Time for change again. And I feel like God's saying, Dave, I need you to do something for me. And I'm thinking, what is it, God? You know, is it weird or is it cool? Because I want to be cool, you know. Anybody want to be weird? No. But I ran across this Black Robe Regiment thing, and it just sparked this inspiration. These guys were fearless, man. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to start wearing a black robe. So I don't know. You know, I may wear it, like I said, for a couple weeks. I may only wear it on Sundays that you're going to get a political sermon. But like I said, that may end up being every single Sunday from now on. I don't know. But change is good. You know, I hope you're hanging in there with me. I hope if you bring a guest, you give them a heads up. We're not like some Orthodox, Presbyterian church or something like that. You know, somebody asked last week, they said there was a guest here, and they said, I thought this was like a non-traditional church. Well, it is, you know. So, but anyway, help them out. So, I, again, I don't know. I'm just going to do this 1 week at a time. That's my take on it. But I'm on a mission. I really am on a mission because we have some really messed up stuff going on right now. And like I said jokingly, it's like every week. Man, oh man. I mean, I'm sure I'm speaking for all of us. I was horrified. You know, this shooting down in Dallas, man, this assassination of 5 police officers, 7 wounded, 12 men of law, women of law, shot down. I mean, it's just horrible, man. This is wrong. This is wrong. And, you start wondering, what's going on? Some cold-blooded murderer. The guy hated whites, hated white police officers, intended to shoot these guys, positioned himself, was ex-military, I guess reserve, had been trained on guns. This guy was bad. And it's a terrible, terrible thing that happened here. And you know, it happened because there was this march, the Black Lives Matter march. And so maybe here's where I can help you out a little bit. This is where I think churches and pastors ought to deal with this kind of stuff. So where are you at on the Black Lives Matter? You know, where are you at on this? I mean, everybody's got some opinions, right? Talked about this last week. If we started asking everybody, oh, well, my opinion is, well, let's try and get God's opinion on this kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, come on. This is stuff we're dealing with. People were marching. It was at least a peaceful march. It wasn't a riot. And the police were there, and all of a sudden, wham, 5 dead, 7 wounded. I mean, wow. So here's my take on it. I do not even pretend to understand all that's going on with the Black Lives Matter. I cannot begin to understand that. That's not my upbringing. I grew up white, middle-class America. But I can tell you this, something is wrong in our country. And I think it's fair we address this stuff. I mean, when you look at these statistics of young black men and women and you see the joblessness rates, you see the poverty, you see the run-ins with the law. You see the incarceration. You see the repeat rate. You see the dropout rates. I mean, you have to be ignorant to miss this. Something's broken here. Something is broken in our culture. Now, I personally cannot endorse the Black Lives Matter officially. If you go to their website, what's so sad about this kind of stuff is these people who organized the start of this, 3 women, are beyond liberal. I mean, we're into whole new dimensions. These people, the 2 of them are professed lesbians, which is wrong according to God's word. They're hateful. They're calling for the killing of police officers. These people are just full of hate. They're supporting transgender lies, gender confusion. They hate men. I mean, this is a bad group of people. But the concept of the black people in our culture saying something is wrong at least ought to be listened to. We're Christians. I would tell you it's inappropriate to respond to someone who's talking about Black Lives Matter and saying to them, well, all lives matter. If you've said that, you need to repent, because that is about as insensitive as you can get. Really? Really? That's your answer? All lives matter? That's not the point. The point is we have a culture that's broken and people are struggling and they don't know how to get out of this. It's a mess. And maybe Christians ought to start speaking up and saying, you know, let's look at this stuff. Is there something that can be done? Can our prison system be reworked? Can the welfare system, which I think is an absolute disaster causing the breakup of families, can that be reworked? But no, I do not think churches, and there have been several around the country and Christian organizations that have now linked arms with Black Lives Matter officially, and I'm telling you, they are unbiblical at the core. But the concept is right. Somebody is crying, hey, help me. And we cannot be insensitive and just say, well, you know, everybody's struggling. Everybody isn't struggling like this. So, but we've got other, you know, issues that are going. I'm grieved with just these political decisions and these judges handing down these things. It's just so sad. I read about the judge out in the southern part of the state, federal district judge, who forbade the marching band of the Mississippi High School. Any of you read about this? This is a high school band that has a repertoire of lots of music. Some of their songs happen to be Christian, and he forbade them from playing that because it was too religious. He's wrong. This judge is wrong. That is not separation of church and state. He actually said they were in violation of the law because they allowed a minister to pray at one of their ceremonies. And he's quoting the lie of separation of church and state. Again, that is not in our Constitution. And what he's saying is that's an endorsement of religion. But the Constitution doesn't forbid the endorsement or the support of religion. It encourages it. It's everywhere in the Constitution and in the Declaration. What it forbids is the government establishing a religion and saying, you must attend this church. That is what the First Amendment is about. And so we've got politicians quoting this. And you know, while I'm at it, can I just talk about the presidential election? I mean, you're going to vote, right? We will have registration here. You best vote. If you don't vote, then you have no voice, and then you have nothing to say. But, whoa, man, I am so sad about the two presidential candidates that we have running and the fact that one of them is going to be our president. What has happened to this country? I mean, think about this. This is incredible. How did Donald Trump get to be the Republican representative, or officially, unofficially, but he's going to be the representative? How did that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. Because we have Republican legislators who are hypocrites. It's a fact. People are fed up with the Republican Party because they make all these promises. Oh, we're going to cut the budget. We're going to save taxes. We're going to balance the budget. We're going to make everything right. They get elected. They do nothing. That's why Donald Trump's been ushered in as the Republican representative. People are saying we're sick of this. Although he's not the best representative that I would prefer. And then we have Hillary Clinton. I'm telling you here, I'm speaking as your pastor. If you're a Christian, if you're a God-fearing, Bible-believing Christian, you cannot vote for that lady. Sorry, but you cannot. You know what's sad? People think I don't have the right to say that as pastor. I can, because in fact she is immoral and ungodly. She wants to use your tax dollars to perform abortions. She wants to endorse homosexuality to the extreme. She wants transgenders to have rights to use anybody's bathroom, anybody's locker room. This lady is immoral. But we have Christians who are voting for her because they vote about their wallet. They're more concerned about the economics. Well, I'm a pastor, and I'm telling you, that's wrong. That's just wrong. You cannot do that. Oh, I'm not telling you to vote for Donald Trump, but I don't know what the heck you're going to do. You know, we're in a mess. It's a mess. This is a mess. But I can tell you what, you cannot vote for a lady who stands against everything God's word says is right. This lady is bad. So we are in trouble here. I'm telling you, we're in trouble. And you know what? I think we're seeing our culture unravel rapidly right now. I mean, I can't keep up with it. It's like every day, what new horrible thing are we going to hear on the news? It's just chaos. But, you know, we have to stand strong, and we have to believe that there's an opportunity here. So this leads me into the sermon here this morning, because we're going to finish up this sermon series. We called it the I Am Sermon Series, where Jesus said seven times, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the door, I'm the good shepherd, you know, I'm the bread of life. Well, this morning, the passage we'll be reading, Jesus said, I am the light. And can you agree with me, if there's ever been a time we need a light to light the way, what is the way? We need it now. We need it now. So I'm just going to finish up here real quick, but we're going to look at the passage in John, if you would. John chapter 8. John chapter 8 here. Jesus is speaking. Verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. This is life, just reading this. This gives me hope. This helps me to breathe. Whoa, okay, there's hope. But really, what good is light? Oh, man. Really, do you need light? Yeah, you having trouble reading there? No, some of you have your phones on, so. If you don't have your lights on, you can't see anything. You can't see where you're going, man. If all these lights were off, you wouldn't know where you're going. You wouldn't know where your kids are going. You don't know what's in front of you. You don't know what's behind you. You don't know what anybody else is doing. You make decisions. You might decide to go right. You bump into the wall. I mean, I'm telling you, darkness is a bad situation. It's dangerous. People get hurt. But we have a whole world right now. We have a culture in darkness. But bless God, Jesus came and said, I am the light. I am the light. You like the light? Yeah, I can read now. Oh, I can see your face now. And nobody's behind me. And I'm not going to trip down the stairs. I mean, you need light. We need light. I mean, Jesus was not just talking about light like this, but he was talking about spiritual light. He's talking about, I'll give you the light you need to make the decisions in your life. When there's darkness and you're facing confusion and chaos, he's going, look, I'll shine the light on that. I'll help you make sense out of the craziness that's going on. This is our hope right now. Not your opinion, not the newsman's opinion, but the light of God. The opinion of God. What is the right thing? He's saying, I will help you. I'm the light of the world. I'll help you make sense. I'll help you make the decisions. I'll show you the way. I'll light your path so you don't trip over something. You don't hurt yourself. You don't hurt somebody else. We're not in darkness. Jesus said, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We have the light of life in us right here. We have it. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within us. We are the light of God. We're his representatives on the earth. I tell you, the saddest thing is to see people who have walked in darkness for so many years of their life when they could have walked in light because they didn't know. Read this story about a lady named Rose Crawford. At 50 years of age, she had an operation to cure her blindness. She had been blind for 50 years. And at 50 years of age, the doctors performed surgery on her eyes. And when they began taking the bandages off her eyes, she started to weep because for the first time in her life, she saw colors and she saw forms and she saw her husband for the first time. They'd been married 23 years, I think. And she wept. She could see now. But here's the crazy thing about that story. She did not know that she did not have to be blind for those last 20 years of her life. She didn't know that modern technology, medicine had improved so much that she could have had that operation when she was 30 years old. She was blind for 20 years. The doctor said she just thought there was no cure. She never even looked into it. She was hopeless. 20 years blind when she could have been seen since she was 30 years old. But what about people that are spiritually blind? I mean, we've got people all around us, man. You've got people at work. You've got people in your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, extended family. Man, they're blind and they're hopeless. They don't even think there's a chance. Sometimes they're depressed. They're overwhelmed with the confusion, the chaos. I mean, it just takes their breath away from them. But sometimes all it takes is just letting people know, hey, you know what? There's an answer. Jesus said he's the light. He'll show you the way. If you open your heart to him, he'll begin to give you life. You won't have to walk in darkness anymore. You know, when I was a kid, I didn't like the darkness. Anybody here ever afraid of the dark? Yeah, right, when you were a kid. All right, how many of you as an adult are a little bit afraid of the dark? Not afraid of it, but you know when it's really, really dark and you just kind of like get a little spooked, man? It's like, what was that noise, you know? I mean, darkness is creepy, man. When I was a kid, I had to have some kind of light, man. You know, those night lights. there's something in the room. You know, if I had a nightlight, I felt safe. Isn't that a crazy thing? Just needed, I mean, also, I mean, hate to say this, but I made sure the closet door was closed securely. Closet door. So, you know, there's monsters in those things, man. As long as the door's closed, you know, he couldn't get out. So I would sleep safely. And then, of course, I never, ever let my hands hang over the edge of the bed. you know what's under the bed, man. Monster grab you and suck you right down there, man, you know. But besides that, what I'm saying is I found peace with a little nightlight. You know, a little nightlight, man. So I think it's the same, you know, spiritually. And the book of Romans says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So there's sin abounding right now, but grace can abound even more so. And I say, just as much as a little light. You are the light. We're the representatives of God right now. And the future of our culture and our communities really hinges on the church letting Jesus shine through us. And so I just encourage you, may God help us spread the light of Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. God, I thank you that we're not walking in darkness. Thank you for opening our eyes. Thank you for helping us as we try to figure out things that we're faced with, decisions and social issues and things going on and the chaos and the anger and the confusion. But God, we know you're able to shine your light on those and to give us clear direction. And I just pray, God, you begin to clear things up in our hearts, how we can be involved. We can interact, and we can do it with love and compassion, but we can do it with wisdom, God, and insight, and we can shine your light on situations so that people see and hope is born within them, God. I thank you for your word. God, we would be in darkness without it. Help us to treasure it and to continue to read it and speak to us through it, God. We pray for our country, God. God, we pray for these officers' families, God, today and over the next week or so, God, as they deal with the tragedy. We pray for the city of Dallas, God. Police chief, the mayor, give them wisdom, God. God, we pray for our African-American families here in this culture, God, that are struggling with just difficult situations, God, that we can't even begin to understand, but God, we pray that somehow these issues could be addressed and a hope can be born in them, that there is a potential for jobs and education and advancement and normal, healthy families, God. Use us as that beacon of light. Awaken your church, God, in America. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand up. We'll close with our song and an offering. Let's just stay in the presence of the Lord. I can just feel his presence here right now, just stirring it. God, we welcome you right now, Holy Spirit. Just stir among us, God. Just come, Holy Spirit. Come in power, God, right now. Just come. Class, just get around these people with their hands up right now. We're going to pray right now. Let's get with these people who've got their hands up. We're going to speak to this pain. First of all, I believe it was the devil that was trying to keep you from coming this morning. It's not a coincidence you get up Sunday mornings and you don't feel good. I just believe that supernatural power. So let's stand with all these people who've got their hands up, prayer team, school of kingdom ministry, class. All right, let's pray in the name of Jesus right now. Father, we speak to this pain in the name of Jesus. Whatever's causing it, in the name of Jesus, we command it to go now. In Jesus' name, swelling, go down. In the name of Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus. If bones are out of alignment, Father, by your Holy Spirit, we speak healing. Inflammation in the head, in the name of Jesus, be gone. Headache, get out. Leave right now. Back pain, be gone in the name of Jesus. Shoulder pain, stomach being upset, in the name of Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Just come. Bring peace. Bring peace right now in the name of Jesus. Just let him come right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is there somebody else going through a major job transition, like changing careers? Anybody here this morning going through a major job transition? All the way in the back, I see one hand. Yep, right over here. Can we just get with these people right here? God, I see two hands here right now. Anybody else? I just got a sense that you're... if they've got their hand up, would you just stand with anybody? I can't see everybody here, but if anybody's got their hand up about a major job transition, I just got a sense the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you this morning about this situation. If it's a decision you have to make and you've been praying about it, let's believe the answer's coming today. Like, do it, don't do it, whatever it is. But you don't want to just pray and think someday maybe God will answer. I just feel like the Holy Spirit's saying this morning is going to give you an answer. So if you're going through a job transition, hold your hand up. We're going to pray for you right now. You can keep praying for those who've got the pain. Maybe if you get a chance, ask them how it's going right now. See if that pain's leaving. But those who've got their hands up about the job, let's pray for them right now. So in the name of Jesus. I saw two hands over here. There was somebody over here with their hand up about a job transition. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray now that you give an answer. Right now, begin to speak to their heart what they should do about this job. Right now, I just rebuke any confusion, any despair, any hopelessness. Shine the light, Jesus. You're the light. Shine the light right now. Give an answer. Give an answer what they should do, where they should go, how they should handle this in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Well, just keep, if you want, keep praying for the people that need some prayer. We're going to close with a song. Let's just open our hearts up. Let the Holy Spirit come and speak to us.
Our rest in the one who loves. His love endures. Forever His love endures. Forever and ever. Oh, His love endures. Forever His love endures. Forever His love endures. Forever and ever.
Thank you so much for being here. Hope you all have a great and wonderful week, and look forward to seeing you here next Sunday. God bless.